fighting for America.
This is turning into a regional conflict, which does pose a threat to the security of the United States.
Only Iraq can save Iraq.
Fighting for Idaho.
No justice! No peace!
There was at least one shot fired within the car.
He started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots, and my friend died.
Fighting for you.
What the heck's going on with the world? You've got Gaza. You've got Iraq. You've got Syria. You've got the Christians being slaughtered. You've got the Chinese. Am I leaving something out? Oh, the border.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
That's a lot of ding-dongs.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. It's that time of year, back to school. Are you ready to go? Joining us now is back to school expert Barbara Dianis. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I can't believe it's like mid-July, about a month ago, Barbara, and our local store here, Fred Meyer and all the others, what are they doing? They've got back to school already and go, hey, the kids just got out.
I know. It goes so quickly, doesn't it?
Of course, I'm sure the parents are happy about that. That can be rather fatiguing, but how has the school cycle changed? I see that we still have the Mead binders and the folders and everything else, even in this digital age.
Absolutely. And even in the digital age, there's still so much learning that has to be done with actual paper pencil.
And that is reassuring.
It really is because, again, you know, digital is certainly has a huge been a huge advantageous to learning, but it also students still need to be able to prove that they know knowledge by using the paper and pencils.
Well, here's the other interesting thing about that. At 580 KIDO, cursive is becoming an endangered species. We actually had one representative try and pass a law that would keep cursive in the schools.
I know. And, you know, I'm concerned about cursive not being a part of the curriculum in today's world because there's still so many documents out there that are written in cursive, and kids need to be able to read those documents. History and all the other purposes.
Indeed. So what tips can you give us about going back to school?
Well, first of all, is start with a plan. Students who generally do better in school, they go into school starting with a plan. They don't think of, oh, it's just the beginning. I'm just going to coast for the first few weeks and see how things go, and then I'll get in gear. They really need to start off in gear, and that means looking at a homework and study plan that includes, you know, at least 20, 30 minutes if they're younger, up to 45 minutes to an hour if they're older, and possibly more if they're high school, depending on their current curriculum needs. And it's something that can be flexible to meet if they have sports or other clubs or whatever, so it doesn't have to be the same time every day. But it is adhered to at the very beginning, so they can start to not only retain and remember what they learned last year, but start getting ahead so that they – because learning spirals around pretty quickly, and if they start slipping in an area, it can snowball on them very, very quickly. Therefore, if they start off with a really doable, workable homework and study plan, they can help themselves out by being even more prepared to meet the scholastic challenges they will face this year.
Well, that's the thing that I want to understand. You know, it seems like it takes a while for the learning to ramp up, you know, the teachers. It takes a couple of weeks for the kids to get back in action, if you will.
It can, and it's partly because so many students, if they haven't done anything to help them retain their learning over the summer, by the Graham study of 2011 that has been done in some of the state university studies, such as Ohio State, have proven that students will lose 2 to 3 months of learning over the summer. So sometimes it takes a while for those brains to get back in gear and get more accustomed to a schedule and be ready to learn at the pace that they need to be learning.
Well, that's a lot of time to overcome.
It is. It really is. And so the sooner students really start to get back to work, the better off they're going to be in their own scholastic journey as far as like doing some pre-learning. Is always a very effective way to help students master information and absorb it at a much better level, is if they look at what they're going to be learning for the next week, and they just spend a little time pre-learning, going over whether it's an online textbook or if it's a actual textbook or notes from the teacher or whatever, going back over that and looking at the vocabulary that will be introduced in class, because so many times students will get lost in lectures or tune out or not focus as properly as they could because they're not understanding the full vocabulary, therefore they're losing interest in what is being taught.
580KIDO, as we continue on with Barbara Dianis, a back-to-school expert. What about parents, though? I mean, it might be intimidating for the parents to even learn the curriculum these days to help with the pre-learning.
Well, really, with students, you know, for most students that are average to above average intelligence, most of them can, you know, look at the vocabulary and get it. And if their parent needs to help them on a, you know, a few words here and there, they can do that. And sometimes it becomes fun for both the parent and their child or teenager to work on some new vocabulary words or some new concepts. And in today's world, you know, if there's a new concept that maybe if they've looked over the textbook or online source and they still aren't really getting or understanding or absorbing the material at the level it needs to be absorbed, there's so many other sources that they can go on the internet or online to find, and they're able to then learn it maybe using some charts and graphs and maybe some pictures or learning it through other vocabulary or maybe a simpler explanation, and then go back to the source or textbook or online source that the class is using.
Well, Barbara, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, there we have it. Some compelling back-to-school tips. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And obviously, a few things going on today. We're remembering the life and times of Robin Williams. And who could forget when Robin Williams burst on the national scene as Mork from Ork and just kind of stole the show from Fonzie.
Hello?
24 years. And this was
Hello?
Came from
Hello? Anybody in there? Little hatchling brothers, you must revolt against your oppressors. You have nothing to lose but your shells. As much as I like Mindy, it's against intergalactic law to eat fellow space travelers. Fly, be free! Well, I guess we'll have to have a quick burial at sea, then. I'll notify your next of kin. Your brother bit the big one.
There you have it from Mork and Mindy. He was talking to an egg. Remember that? Mork came to Ork or from Ork on an egg or in an egg. I always liked at the end of the show where Mork would talk to his folks back on the home planet. And oh, how a simpler time it was. And you can always catch Mork for Mork on Amazon or Netflix or YouTube or what have you. Again, a different type of comedy. And one must wonder, as we Monday morning quarterback this thing, was it his genius that made him so compelling, a curse to him, that he would battle these inner demons? And when we take a look at the death and the suicide of Robin Williams, you're going to have the tasty-pasty, candy-carameled icing media just sit back and, you know, focus on the good. But suicide is a choice. Suicide is an issue. Thankfully, the state of Idaho, through a lot of great work of volunteers, has recognized that and has the suicide prevention hotline. But in our own world, in our own days, if Robin Williams can be depressed with all the fame, with all the money, get this, he's got four movies coming out and he's dead that haven't even been shown yet. The guy worked. He just finished that TV series with CBS. With what, Sarah Michelle Gellar? It was a funny show. It didn't take off, but you know, we talk about actors and roles and people that influence our lives. What did Robin Williams do for you? And yes, it is sad when we lose somebody famous, but for most of us, what happens when we lose someone who suffers from a disease? Someone who has taken from us before our times. Hard to believe that, what, 63? is considered young these days?
Gentlemen, open your text to page 21 of the introduction. Mr. Perry, will you read the opening paragraph of the preface entitled Understanding Poetry?
Understanding Poetry by Dr. J. Evans Pritchard, Ph.D. To fully understand poetry, we must first be fluent with its meter, rhyme, and figures of speech, then ask two questions. One, how artfully has the objective of the poem been rendered? And two, how important is that objective? Question one rates the poem's perfection. Question two rates its importance. And once these questions have been answered, determining the poem's greatness becomes a relatively simple matter. If the poem's score for perfection is plotted on the horizontal of a graph, and its importance is plotted on the vertical, then calculating the total area of the poem yields the measure of its greatness. A sonnet by Byron might score high on the vertical, but only average on the horizontal. A Shakespearean sonnet, on the other hand, would score high both horizontally and vertically, yielding a massive total area, thereby revealing the poem to be truly great. As you proceed through the poetry in this book, practice this rating method. As your ability to evaluate poems in this manner grows, so will your enjoyment and understanding of poetry.
Excrement. That's what I think of Mr. J. Evans Pritchard. We're not laying pipe. We're talking about poetry. How can you describe poetry like American Bandstand? Well, I like Byron. I give him a 42, but I can't dance to him. Now, I want you to rip out that page. Go on. Rip out the entire page. You heard me. Rip it out. Rip it out! Go on. Rip it out! Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Gentlemen, tell you what, not just tear out that page, tear out the entire introduction. I want it gone. History. Leave nothing of it. Rip it out. Rip. Be gone, J. Evans Pritchard, Ph.D.
There you have it from Dead Poets Society. We go to Anne in Parma with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning. You know, there was a comment earlier on about depression being the problem that he had, and I'm not sure that was all. Do you guys remember about 8 years ago, he had some really serious heart problems? Now, heart problems, especially serious ones, affect the brain. And if you watched him in the last 8 years, when he'd be on an interview show, he'd try and let loose the way he did with that 90 degrees weirdness that was so funny and connected with so many things. And he'd try, and it wouldn't happen. Now, if you're a really famous comedian, what do you say? Gee, guys, I'm sorry. I used to have this talent, and something changed in my brain with the heart, and I can't do it anymore? Man, you talk about depression, but it's feeding off of an honest-to-God physical problem.
I have heard that about heart surgeries. It changes you forever.
Yes, it does.
Some type of spiritual
and
mental
thing. I'm wondering how much that headed into, oh, my God, I'm 63. I'm kind of coming to the close, you know, maybe another 20 years. But even then, can I suffer another 20 years knowing what I did and I can't do it anymore? And I think that's an awfully, awfully sad thing to have happen.
And what was your favorite Robin Williams movie?
Patch Adams.
Ah, Patch Adams.
I have a kid who has brain tumors and all kinds of physical problems, and I'm telling you, you watch Patch Adams after you face death with somebody. Oh, boy, does it talk to you.
And thank you for sharing. Our best to you and your family.
Thank you very much. And you have a really good day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 8:19, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO, talking about the life, the times, the death of Robin Williams. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
Seize the day.
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No. Ding! Thank you for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die.
Robin Williams, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh me, oh life of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish. What good amid these, oh me, oh life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists, and identity. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?
Robin Williams. Remember, Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Dan in Boise, good morning. You're at 580-KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Hey, in 2005, I was at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas with my father-in-law and my wife's sister. She had a display there, so I got to go in where the media area is. And I walked into this one area, and I saw this guy standing over in a corner of this booth area, and I walked over to him, and I said, "You know what?" I said, "This is amazing, but you look just like Robin Williams." And he stops and kind of looks at me and goes, "Whoa, I am." And it was, and he immediately just made me feel really at ease. And he was normal for about, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds. And then he went into the service kit. I can't remember exactly what it was. But the guy was so spontaneous. And what really stuck in my mind is how approachable he was and how easy to talk to. It was really interesting. And I did ask him, I said, "Do you have, you've done a lot of movies and stuff. Do you have a favorite or anything?" He goes, "Well," he says, "you know what, I really enjoyed doing Mrs. Doubtfire. And that's got to be my favorite."
I was just watching the clip and trying to make sure if it was family friendly enough where he's cooking.
Oh, yeah.
He's so quick when his, fake breasts are on fire and he says he's got hot flashes.
Yeah.
Just brilliant.
And one last thing, Kevin, he could pick up on your, what I really noticed also is he could pick up on your mannerisms. And he just cued into it. He was really in tune to body language, I believe, and how people came across, and he could just capitalize on it really quick.
What was it like, though, talking to him?
What's that?
What was it like when you were yapping to him?
I felt like I was just talking to someone I've known for a long time. It was just, the guy was, it was 2005. He's obviously right in his prime right there. But he just was just kind of laid back and, Dan, how's it going, Idaho? And he was just really, really just, it just made you feel kind of just at ease. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, Dan, thanks for sharing.
You bet. Yeah.
All right, see ya. Thank you. Dan in Boise. We go to Diane in Boise at 580-KIDO.
Hi, Kevin. How are you this morning?
Living the dream. And you?
Well, happy to be alive, and there's some beautiful blue up in the sky, so it's a good day. Hey, not to be off topic, my favorite movie was Popeye. I just thought that he was wonderful in that, and even though Shelley Duvall was hard to stomach, it was sure great to watch him in Popeye. The comment that I had has to really do more with the fact that people who commit suicide, I think, are in a place where they're not really thinking about the next day. They're not really thinking about what's it going to look like when my family has to find me. What's it going to look like when my wife has to tell my kids. I think that they're in a maybe a bit of a selfish place. I know this because my mother tried to kill herself, and I'm the one that found her. I was only 8. And the carnage afterwards, the lives that are forever impacted go far beyond just the pain that the person is in at the, you know, at the moment or the year or even the decade. So I want to say I'm sorry for his family, and I'm sorry for his pain, and that anyone out there who feels the need to end it, please think about what their family's going to go through afterwards.
And know that you're loved.
Yep, exactly. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Diane. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 580KIDO, we continue on quickly to our friend Daryl from the Canyon County Tea Party at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning there, Kevin. Yeah, it's kind of sad to see Robin Williams end his life that way. But I had a couple of favorite ones. Popeye was one of them because I'm an old cartoon freak. I thought they made that pretty good. And Awakenings, I thought, was very, very good. I really enjoyed watching that.
Yeah, I Popeye just never could deliver the magic of the cartoon, though.
Oh, the background, it was pretty accurate. I thought it was with the cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had my Prius Dar up, like the Gaydar. My Prius Dar is up.
Sure.
I remember a mention of Prius owners not being manly, like they need to have a 4x4 and a 4x4 and turbo diesel.
That's but, right. If you're not driving a 350, you're not a man.
Yeah.
And if you're a woman driving a 350,
how the Camry drivers were.
Look,
let them grind it down, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Daryl. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, we go live to London. Our great friend Simon Owen joining us from Fox News Radio. Simon, good morning.
Hi, Kevin. Morning.
Any reaction from London and Europe over the death of Robin Williams?
I'm sure people here are just as stunned as in the States, but I mean, this is a story that is all over the news in Britain, but there's not necessarily a British link to it. It's just the fact that, you know, his movies went all over the world and they were pretty much just as big hits as they were over in America.
It's interesting that people, it's a big story over there as well. Certainly, we'll keep his family in our thoughts and prayers. We move now to Iraq and the latest there. What's the European reaction to the air support, the airstrikes from America on ISIS?
Well, I mean, it remains an American job, really. These airstrikes have been supported by, well, notably Britain, which was a particularly key member of the coalition that went into Iraq sort of in the last war there. But ultimately, it's being left to the States to do this on its own. Europe is sticking to sending aid, and it is doing that. Britain is carrying out aid drops. There is a move, I think, here towards the idea of doing what America is already doing, which is arming militias, Iraqi Kurdish militias, because they seem to have got the beginnings of getting a handle on the advance of these Islamic militants. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Britain and France, for a start, perhaps take that step in the next few days. But equally, they're not there yet. If you take here in London, for example, there's actually quite a lot of calls from the Prime Minister's own party for Britain to be seen to be doing more. But in the case of Britain, the Prime Minister here was stung last summer when he wanted to launch military action against Syria, and Parliament voted in things a little bit delicate here when it comes to operations like this. And also, there is an election here in 9 months. And you can imagine what politicians think. You know, in these days, Britain is pretty much just as war-weary as the U.S., and so the idea of sending British troops to Iraq again is not what the Prime Minister wants to do, if he can get away with it. But there are these fairly sort of noisy calls for Britain to do that, and I wouldn't be surprised if something maybe steps up in the next few days, but it certainly won't be troops.
One thing that interests me is the whole Kurd-Turkish relationship and how that might play into NATO, and that's perhaps why the U.S. decided to go in to make sure that ISIS didn't start trying to destabilize Turkey if the Kurds fell.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can always wind it forward to the next stage, can't you? And equally, you could have said, what if the West had taken action when it first started to get concerned about Islamic State, or ISIS, as it was called then, back at the start of this year? But yes, there is this issue with if they were to spread their influence and to start trying to get into Turkey, well, then you are dealing with a NATO member, which requires a much more serious operation. Ultimately, in Iraq, the US and its partners can do what they feel is right and what they want, whereas Turkey would be a different case. Right now, there's no sign of them making those advances. They're very much focusing on Iraq, it would seem. But it's not an impossible idea that that may be somewhere down the line. And that's just one of the reasons that the US is looking to sort of stamp this insurgency out before it gets too serious. The other one being, and the reason they've really talked about being the fact that they feel there's a genocide potentially about to happen in Iraq if nothing was done.
It does make you wonder here at 580 KIDO as we move along here, how long the support from the US can be sustained without any really help from anybody else?
Well, I suspect there's a way to go. I mean, President Obama has done this as a U.S. mission, so there's no sort of need or requirement on any international partners to follow on there. So I suspect this could be something that is the U.S. is to worry about for some time, at least in terms of the airstrikes. Now, the support in terms of aid and this sort of thing is a useful and important part of this kind of operation, but ultimately, you know, critics of countries like Britain, including some sort of fairly senior former military figures here, are saying that what countries like Britain are doing is essentially doing something that makes it look like they're doing something useful, and actually they're just dodging the sort of serious involvement.
Do you think there's any movement within Britain or anywhere else, Simon, within Europe, that they're taking a look at comments by Senator Lindsey Graham, who said that if we don't stop ISIS over there, that they'll attack the homeland, he meaning the America, but are there any concerns among the Europeans that ISIS could be coming over to your neighborhood?
Well, yeah, there are. I mean, there's a number of Europeans have been arrested for going to fight with ISIS. This is something that in any insurgency in the Middle East and North Africa, you know, Europe is a lot closer than the US is, and that simple fact makes it easier for people to get there and get involved, and then the risk is they get radicalized, and the worst fears of Western governments is an attack at home. And that is very present in the minds of Western governments, particularly France. Its sort of ethnic makeup means that there is a good possibility that radicalized people could go back to France and try and, you know, that it could be a possible target. Britain also is often a target for international attacks, we often hear. So in those countries particularly, yes, they do have concerns about this being the case. But I think things in Iraq would have to get worse again before European countries were really looking at a serious military involvement.
Simon, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, we appreciate it. Our great friend Simon Owen joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning, it is 8:46. Your thoughts on ISIS, number one, and as we continue to spend money, remember those Tomahawk missiles, the air support, it's not free, number one. Number two, at 580-5436, the death of Robin Williams, the suicide of Robin Williams. And, you know, if you missed it, I urge you to go to our podcast and hear Diane talk about what suicide does to the people that are left behind. Here you have a young woman detailing finding her mom who attempted suicide when she was 8 years old. You know, so many times we think of our pain, our guilt, our misery, and we don't think about the people that are gone or the people that are here while we're gone. And, you know, you think about Robin Williams and you think about all his great successes. What does that really say, that materialism is minimal compared to the spirit, compared to unconditional love? If Robin Williams wasn't a guy that had everything, I don't know who was. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll come back to that. By the way, Arnold Schwarzenegger had this to say earlier at 580-KIDO.
we are mourning the loss of such a great man.
Mourning a great man. But is there a lesson for us? Do you believe there's a lesson? Let's get you to work.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
My brother sent me a text message, and I just kind of froze because my hero had passed.
He was such a great neighbor. He looked like he was happy. He was content. You know, we didn't see that other side of him.
We are mourning the loss of such a great man.
It truly was his lifeblood, just to keep working and keep people laughing.
And at 580KIDO's Facebook site, we are asking you the question, what's your favorite Robin Williams movie? We've got, let's see, Robert saying Patch Adams. We've got Bruce saying, it's hard, there's a lot of them, but I guess the one I watch the most is Good Morning Vietnam. Rest in peace, my friend, because seeing how the VP is such a VIP shouldn't be. Yeah, I get confused, but that's on our Facebook. We would love to hear from you as we remember Robin Williams. We remember Tea Party Bob at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Good morning.
How are you, Kevin?
Me? I'm living the dream.
Sounds like you are this morning. You know, the passing of Robin Williams is a great loss to all of those that he gave a good belly laugh to. The problem is that most of the people who are in a state of depression don't really show it outwardly, and it's one of the primary causes of suicide. You know, it's kind of hard to get into somebody's head when they're troubled like he evidently was. So it's a sad day indeed, and it's a sad day for the entertainment world. As far as ISIS is concerned, this is a problem that we should never have come about if it had not been for the president and President Maliki not being able to make a decision on how to leave our troops there, at least to protect our own citizens. You know, it also tells us that our president is not very good at decision-making when it comes to foreign policy. It would have taken very little effort to keep the terrorists out with just 10,000 troops there. Now it seems that we never seem to learn. And it's going to take a lot more effort, a lot more money, and a lot more willpower to stop this invasion and this intrusion into Iraq. So anyway, I still haven't put the ice water over my head.
Yeah, you only had 24 hours.
I know. I couldn't do it. Although this morning it's 83 degrees outside, and I got to walk my dog. There's a good chance I might try it.
You know, you do a video of that, and you're going to get more hits than you'll know what to do with.
That's what you keep telling me.
I'm telling you.
But I'd have to use a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah, I just used a pail. You know, everybody's a critic until they do it. You know what I'd like to do? And I'd like to just get the whole Miller Militia and just have a whole group of us do it.
Well, that would be fun.
It would be.
But you got to get them all down there at one time.
Well, yeah, I know. That would be the point.
That would be a problem.
I suppose.
Well, anyway, I hope you keep cool today. It's going to be another warm one.
Who are you, Larry Gabbert?
No, I wish I were Larry Gabbert. He does pretty well out there.
Well, that's all I have. I'm trying to think of something quick, but I'm out.
You've done a great job all morning. You should be out. It's time to go home and relax.
Yeah, that's what I love about people. Everybody goes, oh, so you're done at 9. No, this is the easy part of the job, as you know, but it's just so funny that people would think that. And as I was talking to Mrs. Miller yesterday, I go, you know, when the DJs go, oh, I do a show, and I go, look, they said 10 words and they were reading a card. That's not trying to hold people's attention, you know. It's a very different world. Oh,
you know,
always me.
Spending a time that I have with you over the last year and a half has taught me a lot about how difficult that job is. And certainly, I give you a tremendous amount of credit for doing this day in and day out, 6 days a week.
Well, it's the voices in my head, really.
Keep them there. They're doing a good job.
Tea Party Bob, publisher of the Gem State Patriot, gemstatepatriot.com. Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, you too, my friend. There we have it, Tea Party Bob. And let's hear a little bit more from Robin Williams, shall we?
Here tonight to present the award for Best Animated Feature. One of them is made by the French. One by Disney, one by Pixar, formerly of Disney. Makes you think of a French Minnie Mouse with armpit hair smoking a cigarette going, what are you doing, Michael Eisner? Listen, if you lose Miramax, all you're going to have left is basically a Muppet and a water slide.
Time for traffic at 580. Well, dear friend, it's that time again, but we live day in and day out on the podcast. If you missed any part of the program, you can check it out at 580kido.com. The Tony Stewart, Kevin Miller hot list always available for you. And just to let you know, whether you're working inside or outside, you're going through good times or tough times, you are not alone. You're in my prayers. I love you. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett.